Blog Talk Radio.
Empowerment Tuesday, and we are here to talk Black Women Tuesday, and honored to have our special guest in the building, Brother Tyron DeWalt, the mastermind of this healer, is phenomenal. Got a phenomenal story coming up. Check out his products, check out his services, check out everything that this phenomenal brother is doing. That phone number to call in, family, 929-477-1755. Again, 929-477-1755. Press 1 with your questions and your comments. Let the folks know that Dumanaz Radio is on Live Talk Black on Tuesday. And we got our special guest in the building. So it becomes my honor and privilege at this time to introduce to some of us and to others today's guest on Talk Black on Tuesday, our brother Tyron DeWalt is in the building. Peace, my brother. What's going on with you?
Peace, family. Thank you for having me, brother. It's a pleasure, man. I got to give you love. And the sister, Chanel, who I know is Zariat, for recommending me to the show. Thank y'all so much for having me on.
Oh, yeah. That's the mastermind behind Dude Knows Radio. I'm just here now.
I'm just here now, and
our sister Chanel is on fire,
yes,
linking me up with so many you know, great minds. You know what I mean? I've been out here for a little while. You see what I'm saying? This is our fourth year. We got about 865 episodes and counting. You know what I mean? And
James, y'all be putting in work, brother.
Right. And work, ain't brother. Nothing like this here. You see what I'm saying? Since Chanel got on the case, like, I got you, bro. I got you. Don't worry about it. I got you. You got to be real busy. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm like, all right. You know what I'm saying?
I welcome. Yeah. I welcome it. I think it's time. It's definitely divine time, my brother.
Right. Right. So we, you know, always begin here with the introduction so you can take as little or as long as you like to introduce yourself to the family so we can get into it after that.
Okay. Now. All right. So my name is Tyree from Bowling Green, Kentucky. Come from a big family of eight. Working class family, of course. Watch my mother work her fingers to the bones, you know, tending to us. My life early in childhood was marked by academia. For whatever reason, I was just always poured myself into academia and, you know, reading voraciously. I guess being a Gemini and under the life path of a five, you know, that meant that everything in my life was going to be, you know, leaning itself toward developing and cultivating the mind. You know, while the other kids are playing, I'm in the house, in, head in the book, you know,
right,
or looking for something about healing. And I don't know where that came from, you know. Well, at that time, I didn't know where it came from. Of course, now, you know, with these eyes, looking back, I understand that it was just cultivating me and developing me for all the work, you know, that I do now. So, yeah. I guess my pain, like everybody else, my pain led me to my power. It's definitely something that is a testament to where I'm going. And it's something that I definitely welcome now. I ran from it for a long time. I definitely ran from the college. Now I'm in the seat of my power, understanding the purpose, you know, behind why I'm doing what I'm doing, you know, understanding who I am. So most of my focus is, my primary focus is spiritual advising and spiritual counseling, but I have a background in therapy and a Reiki energy healer. I also done some hypnotherapy, life coaching. You know, I try to get as many skill sets and, you know, tools in my arsenal as I possibly can. So it's definitely been a journey. So I take all of those things and I put them together. The spirit is definitely working with me and working through me. Still learning, still a student, still open. Yeah, so in a nutshell, that's it. That's where I am.
Right. And the most important thing that you share with the listening audience is that you are a Gemini. You understand what I'm saying? So that means that you're perfect, you know? You know, for these other people that are out here with this other stuff, you know, that means that you're perfect. You see what I'm saying? That just puts your credit score, your spiritual credit score, and your Duke Knowledge Radio credit score up there. At the highest it could possibly go. I think I got to make a new level. You see what I'm saying? Because when Gemini comes through here, you know, you got to open the way. You got to make sure that the way is open, you know, that you sweep off the steps. Ain't no dust on the porch when they walk up the stairs. You see what I'm saying? Because, you know, we get down, you know. We get down.
Yes, sir. What's your vibration, brother? What's your astrological vibration?
I'm Gemini.
Gemini,
you know?
Okay, brother. So you recognize.
That's how
you know what it is.
Yeah. You know, that's how we get down.
Sir.
I just had to say that out loud. You see what I'm saying? Because we in Taurus season, and my older brother's birthday is today. You know what I'm saying? You know, his birthday is today. You know what I mean? And he is true to his name. His name is Michael. You know, that Arabic name would be Mikael. You see what I'm saying? And he is him. 1,000%. You see what I'm saying? And most folks who got that name, that's who they are. You see what I'm saying?
I was about to say, ain't they all, brother? Ain't they
right. All? Right. Right.
Man.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, amazing. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, now that we, you know, let these Taurus folks know that it's about to be Gemini season. You see what I'm saying? For the rest of the year, you know. Ain't no more. Once Gemini comes, it doesn't leave. You know what I mean? So, it's all good. It's all good.
They know what it is.
Right. You wouldn't have nothing if it wasn't for no Gemini. You had nothing. You understand what I'm saying? You have my little moment. Have our moment right there. You see what I'm saying? We make every other sign what it is. And we the only human.
That's true, brother. That's what they say. You know, Mercury is the planet that's closest to the sun, right? So,
right.
I think that's a testament to that.
Right. And that's why we be talking our shit, too. You know what I'm saying?
Man. Out there.
They be like, I can't stand you, but you're right. Nah. Let me get off of that. Man. Somebody be talking some noise, get their feelings hurt.
I was about to say that actually is where a lot of my healing came from, brother. Like, having to be able to reel that back, you know, and be tight-lipped and reserve, you know, some silence, because it definitely done got me into some tight spots and some messes.
Yeah, I mean, you were reflecting on your early journey, you see what I'm saying, and being in a book. And I thought that I was just bugging out hearing your story. You see what I'm saying? Folks was out playing and was in the house reading books and healing books and things of that nature. I was in the house reading books. You see what I'm saying?
Man.
For a different trajectory, though. You see what I'm saying? My twin was getting me into shit all the time. You understand what I'm saying? Well, my mother found that as long as I had some books around me, I would be good. You understand what I'm saying?
Man.
You know, yes, that emphasis on learning, that emphasis on, you know, taking, you know, books, physical books, taking to places that you could never imagine. You see what I'm saying?
Oh,
I remember the movie Hurricane. And there's a Washington play, Ruben Hurricane called it. It was like, I'm no longer in prison when I'm reading these books. You see what I'm saying?
Yes,
and he
sir.
Said, while he was writing his book, like that, like you know how Denzel is, like he embodies the character, so he gave it so much justice. You understand what I'm saying? He gave Reuben Hurricane Carter's character so much justice. He said, when I'm writing, I can see our ancestors writing. You see what I'm saying? So these books that he was there, took him on a path, and then when he began to write his book, you know, 16th Round, he began to articulate that particular story. It took him to another place. He could see political prisoners where he was in their cells writing. You understand what I'm saying?
Man.
So we could see the remnants from that and that, you know, set of abilities to create a visual scene through the power of words. You see what I'm saying? And, you know, books speak to you in that kind of way. Like I see people with the Kindle and everybody got the e-books and they listening to books all the time. That might serve a purpose for you if you are multitasking, like if you're in the gym, you're working out, whatever the case may be, you want to go and you're listening and you're not in the space to physically read, to be able to see what's going on around you. Ain't nothing like being in a quiet space. It's responsible for your entire body being in tune and not moving. You see what I'm saying? And appreciating the stillness and the quiet. And you can go into another place. And all of the sights and the sounds and all of the vibes and tones and reverberations come alive right there.
Man,
jump off
absolutely. Man, yeah, that's the art of presence, you know. That is presence. You know, that is meditation. That is being still, you know. What you just said about, you know, going into the depths and the ocean of the mind, you know, in a quiet room with that book or whatever it is, you know, whatever it is that is your meditation or that helps you to get into the seat of your power. That presence right there is what, and you know, they actually have a form of therapy called bibliotherapy. Where you're reading books, you know, actually giving you release and relief and resolve to a lot of the issues. And that was, I think, books were a refuge for me. You know, a lot of my pain, I was able to, like you talked about with Hurricane, he was no longer in the prison because the prison didn't have his mind. You know, his his mind allowed him to, you know, extend himself and be in a completely different place. So, you know, it was the same thing for me, you know, picking up a book. It just took me on a journey. You know, I'm all up in the cosmos. I'm everywhere I want to be because the environment that I was in didn't lend itself to, you know, what my needs, wants, and desires were. So those words that I internalized in the books, you know, it just impregnated me with, you know, this vision for where it was that I wanted to go. Or I didn't even know I wanted to go. You know, the spirit was downloading into me what was necessary for my development and growth at that particular time. But again, in hindsight, you can see, you know, how the universe and that the divine hand is paving and opening the way for you. You know, as a kid, you're not thinking about it, but, you know, you look at it now with some consciousness and it's like, wow, man, God is so powerful. God is so powerful.
Right. You know, I always love hearing the stories because the stories, you know, along the journey, make the journey all that more fruitful after, you know, the fact that oftentimes we have to be reminded. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So we come into a space where it's like mind, that take mind, like, man, okay, bam, you said that, oh, boom, you said that, that brought me here. Okay, you said that, that took me there. You see what I'm saying? So alongside with books, music has that power. That, you know, power to take you back to the time when you first heard. You can time travel right there, like boom. You can go all the way back. Like, I was seven, it was blah, blah, blah. This was the temperature outside. You heard this joint come on and blah, 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 blah. You understand what I'm saying? Like, you hear that. Like, you hear people come alive. You see what I'm saying? That could even be in a vegetable state when they say music still affects, it still gets there to your unconscious or your subconscious, depending on how you identify that place. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, it's a great opportunity to be able to see that. And, you know, you with your healing modalities begin to work in these particular places and to call folks back from the depths of themselves where they have given in to situations of despair. So the healing process can begin just from a word. You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And that word from the space, seed get planted, a determined idea, like, nah, I choose life. You understand what I'm saying? Like, to make that declarative statement, like, I choose life, I choose to live, I choose to improve. You see what I'm saying? Like,
Yes, sir.
I want to get started. And what we just out here doing some stuff right here. Go ahead, what you was about to say?
I said, that's word. You know, that's the word right there. You know, as I sometimes I just reflect, you know, on a lot of the clients I've worked with and, you know, a lot of the self-healing that I've done. And I realized that all of it was just me reframing and reposition myself to create a new perceptual filter to perceive or see myself or something outside of myself differently. And all of that was, you know, through the word, the absorption of the word in some form, whether it was music, through a book, you know, a sage, whoever. It was just that information coming in, you know, and informing me on how to shift and shape my perception. And when you know, you change your perception, you change the way you see the world. You know, the things you look at actually change. You know, they even teach that in, that just now catching up with that in quantum mechanics, quantum physics. In terms of the observer and the observed and just the presence of your observation alone has the power, you know, to shift that which is in the physical form, you know.
Right.
Like, we've been on that. Y'all just now, come on, y'all.
That's attempting to show the depth of their complexity. You see what I'm saying? You know, they were reporting that they were looking at light code transmissions and that the light moved different, picking up it being observed. You see what I'm saying? So, like they go anthropology studies and all of these places, and they call themselves observing animals in the natural environment, and they don't move the same when they know they're being watched. Whether they acknowledge your presence or not, they know that you're there, and they move differently. You see what I'm saying? So how can you go to see anyone or anything in its natural environment if you are not invited in? You see what I'm saying? And if you are invited in, you wouldn't be observing from a distance. You see what I'm saying? So your presence is unwelcome. So it interrupts the natural flow of how things are supposed to go because some infiltrator is there. You see what I'm saying? So that's why everybody with these cameras and things like that, if you notice, folks start to act different as soon as the camera comes on. Automatically. And they don't even think to acknowledge that. They like, the camera comes on, they turn into a whole nother type of nut. You understand what I'm saying? Like, the fact that you're thinking that someone is watching you. You see what I'm saying? Right. This is the time you acknowledge it. But we got ancestors. Man. You understand what I'm saying? We got ancestors that are watching us at all times. How come our conduct doesn't change then, being mindful, being watchful? Or for those who have an inclination towards monotheism, God is watching you all the time. That camera's on you. So, you know, what happened to the correctness in your behavior? You are in the presence of God. And there's no place on the space of the planet that you can go that you move from the presence of God. So, you know, I think scripture says to be absent from the body is to be present with God. Yes, you see what I'm saying? So not even what you would propose to have death would mean that you going somewhere where God can't find you. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, it just goes to show that artificial dependency in regards to just conceptual view of someone looking at you. You see what I'm saying? That this is something that you might long for. However, it's coming from a source that's not natural. So you respond to that stimuli unnaturally.
Yeah, absolutely. That's like the extreme opposite of the natural spectrum or the natural order in which it's supposed to unfold. You know, like you said, that divine all-seeing presence is always there. That's the only reason for your being in your existence.
Right.
Yet we have degenerated ourselves into, you know, this artificiality, you know, where they, like you said, that camera comes on, and then our behavior, or, you know, those who are conditioned to that have this automatic response, you know, lights, camera, action, on, you know.
Right.
And a lot of times they don't even realize they're doing it, you know. We've deified it so much and idolized it so much that it's just automatic, you know, that those lower forms automatically come up. They automatically come up, and that speaks to where our values are, you know, where the focus and attention is. You know, we're no longer God-centered, spiritual-centered, you know, even person-centered. It's all material-centered.
Right.
You know, it's all outwardly, you know, external. All this external validation, and you know, the subconscious mind is what's regulating, you know, your behaviors. Any 95% of your behaviors through the day, so. People are not no longer, you know, in regular routines and rituals to keep that animal or those lower vibrations still or below, you know, the higher self. So, you know, I think that's why we see the degeneration we see today. And just the mindlessness, too, you know, it's just mindlessness. Even when you try to bring it to their attention, you're bound to get attacked.
right.
Zombie culture.
Yeah, I mean, you live in the culture of a dead man, woman and child. You see, you've been grafted into their image and after their likeness. They dead. You see what I'm saying? So...
Man.
That's the only thing that they can beget, death and devastation. You know, it's true wherever you find him on the planet. You see what I'm saying? So, and if you want to be loved by them, if you want to be loved by something that's dead, I think they call it like necrophilia, necromancy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
and it's been normalized, though. That's the big part about it.
Right.
It's so normalized. But to level up the octave in terms of the observer, you know, and the observer in and of itself having healing components to it, you know, and having an effect on the material and the physical. One client I was working with, and all of this just happened, you know, naturally. It just unfolded naturally. She had just given birth, and she, you know, for weeks and even months after giving birth, she said that her body, her equilibrium, was just off. You know, she said it was something around her womb that just didn't feel the same. And, you know, she went to go get tests and assessments done, and they couldn't find anything. And I was just reminding her that, you know, you have the power to heal yourself just with your perception and understanding that you have the power. You know, just that understanding inculcated in your mind alone has the power to bring about healing. And, you know, we were just, you know, chopping it up, having that conversation. She called me the next day, and I didn't think that, you know, she was really receiving it because she was still kind of, you know, low in her spirit. She called me the next day, and she said she woke up, and she said she was right back to where she was before the pregnancy. She said she didn't have any more symptoms. And to me, you know, that represented just the power, you know, that we're talking about of introducing things into the consciousness and, you know, just what you feed into your spirit, what you feed into your mind. You never know the effect that it's going to have.
Right.
Yeah. Natural, you know, healing is a natural process anyway. You know, like Dr. Sebi said, the body heals itself. You know, and as the body heals itself, the mind heals itself. You know, the spirit heals itself. But the question is, what's in the way of the healing unfolding and taking a natural course? And in her case, you know, I'm not sure what type of block or type of limitation, what misperception was in the way. But it seems like that conversation in and of itself was able to, you know, alleviate that and allow that natural process of healing to unfold, you know, for her body to regain that equilibrium again. And I've seen a lot of cases like that. I mean, even with myself, you know, I've seen a lot of healing in those terms.
Definitely. So if you got a question, if you got a comment, if you got a what to call it, if you got a testimonial from my brother, typing that number to call it. It's his show today. I'm just here. You see what I'm saying? Going along with the process. Roll call it and ask me a question. We got Brother Tyler here. Ask him a question. 929-477-1755. You know, for the tourists out here, I got a couple of more days. Get it together. You understand what I'm saying? You know, everybody can't be perfect. You know what I'm saying? Everybody can't be perfect. You know, don't worry about it. It's all good. You like 100% near correct. You see what I'm saying? You're there. You're just right there. You're as close as you possibly could be to perfection. Just like a couple of weeks shy of perfection. You know what
I'm saying? Now, don't go too hard on my brother, because they got some qualities that I do admire. You know, when they are properly aligned, and that stability and that groundedness, you know. I wish I had a little bit more, you know. It's a couple of the qualities they got, you know. I wouldn't trade too much, you know, just
they got Malcolm.
One or two characters.
They got Malcolm X. Yeah. I can't say nothing about that. They got Malcolm X. You see what I'm saying? And they got Toussaint Louverture. I don't have nothing to say about that. They got Malcolm, but we got Betty Shabazz. You see how that work right there? You know what I'm saying? That's just how it work, you know?
Right.
So, they got Malcolm. We got Betty. You see what I'm saying?
Trust.
A week apart, they birthed it. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, we got the folks. They got claimed out the next day across the nation. A week later, Dr. Betty Shabazz. See what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Need some equality in that right there. You know? After his, you know, transition, she was left with 6 children.
I couldn't imagine.
And the story is ill. They both was in the foster care system as a result of, they, you know, that the parents is being removed in their life. And Dr. Betty Shabazz was fortunate enough to have a family who taught her who she was, who taught her who she was, to give her knowledge to something, and to love on her and take her in like their own child and send her to nursing school.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying?
I didn't know that. I didn't know that they have both been in the foster system.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right? And you see how this fostering of love in the environment would have you one way, and the opposite would have you in another way. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And Malcolm comes from strong family roots. No, they don't know the story because the inaccuracies in regards to who reported what and what they said he said and what they said he did is completely, many of the cases, inaccurate and very false. You see what I'm saying? Like, they don't talk about him growing up in Canada. You see what I'm saying? None of that. They don't. How come you don't know any of that? You see what I'm saying?
Right. I'm about
him
to say
speaking multiple languages, his family life, all of that stuff up in Canada, you know, being Garveyites. Why nobody speaks about that? You see what I'm saying? So it's like they kind of take little snapshots and portions from his life. You see what I'm saying? So to go from all of that into what we would see in those formative years, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's crazy. So, you know, just to see two people come up in the same type of environment and what that environment had the potential to yield on both ends. They're like opposite ends of the spectrum, and they would meet later. You see what I'm saying?
Man.
So,
that's
crazy.
No mistake about it. You know, those two forces coming together like they did with similar backgrounds, you know.
Right.
And being able to triumph all of the challenges and all of the weight, you know, that they was facing.
Right.
In such a racially intense time, you know, they were they were marginalized at every level imaginable. Yet they still were giants, though. That's what's so powerful to me. I'm like, man, I when I juxtapose where we are today to where they were, you know, I'm like, man, I can't complain, bro. But what they were saying, I just can't complain. All I can do is be grateful. All I can do is be grateful for the way the example that was set and for the work that they put in, because they put in some work.
Serious
work. Man, serious work.
Dr. Betty Shabazz said that she always loved Malcolm. She said she fell in love with Malcolm 2 weeks before he transitioned. 2 weeks.
Wow.
There was a situation where they had five on his house. And she was pregnant with twins. And she said Malcolm got the girls out, ran back in the house, got her out, ran back in the house, got the rifle. And she said she saw that man go in and out of the house to make sure that everybody got everything. The house is on fire.
Yeah.
And he went back in and out of that house. She said it was one time when she seen him come out with the rifle with fire on his house coat. In that instant, she fell in love with him. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, this right there.
How could she not, though? You know, how could she not?
So, seeing that power, and then a week later, witnessing this horrific type of transition and with your children present, with two children in your womb. You see what I'm saying? And continuing to go on. And subsequently
continuing to go on. Yeah.
Right. I think they said it was 27 years later from that fire that didn't kill her. She transitioned trying to save Malcolm's grandson. Malcolm.
Man. Yeah.
So,
wow.
It's there in the story. No, it's there. Man. It's those stories. These aren't the stories that everyone gets told.
That pattern is crazy. That synchronicity is crazy.
Right.
But not only the fact that, you know, she was pregnant at the time and left with these children and lost the love of her life, but the fact that life was already daunting. Life was already dark. It was already
right.
getting death threats. You know what I'm saying? You were already up against everything. So then to lose the benefit and, you know, the unconditional love of the husband, I couldn't even imagine that. But endured. And I think went on and, you know, continued to get
PhD education. And everything, right?
Yeah, PhD.
Yeah, and raised those warriors, the warrior sisters that came from that womb, that came from that time right there. You see what I'm saying? And, the early reports from Malcolm, he said when his mother was pregnant with him that the Klan came to his house and firebombed his house, and that his father came out with the pistol and was shooting at them folks. You understand what I'm saying? Like look at everything in essence. You see what I'm saying? So along this line right here, the stories within the stories. You know, oftentimes we fractionalize things, or we look at things from a perspective of the chronos, the chronological line, like this happened. Now, all of these things were happening simultaneously. And you understand what I'm saying? These things that were happening here affect things happening on the entire planet. We're interconnected, so we don't approach things from a singular point. You see what I'm saying? It's intertwined, right. Interwoven. So I'm doing a lot of yapping over here. We gotta get to what you got going on, man. 360 healing. How did this concept come about? You know, let's hear the story about that, and let's talk about the services you provide. And you know, you mentioned some stories from some clients. So whatever you would like to share, let me be quiet so we can get into
all good, brother.
How you got going?
Well, you know, 360 healing, you know, I feel like it is actually in relationship to everything we've been speaking about. You know, you just talked about how, some of the trials and the tribulations of our ancestors was interconnected to everybody on the planet. You know, 360 healing, you know, that the understanding behind that is that, you know, healing is required, you know, from a holistic point of view, not just from the external or like the allopathic or healing at the level of the symptom versus at the level of the cause. And, you know, because it is so important to know thyself. If you don't know who you are, you know, you don't know what you're capable of, and you don't know to heal at the deeper regions and the deeper levels. And most of us wonder why, you know, the same patterns keep coming back up. The same issues keep coming back up because we're not really getting to the root of our issues. So that was my concept. That's what the concept really speaks to, is healing at the level of, you know, the spirit, you know, the mind, the body, everywhere that the healing is required. And I think I spoke to earlier how a lot of my trials, a lot of my challenges, my pain, I feel like I took that and, you know, tried and turned it into power, you know, by getting into psychology, studying therapy, you know, working with every clientele and population, from refugees to mental institutions, schizophrenia, the most extreme cases of schizophrenia. Bipolar disorder, you know, developmental disabilities, you know, just running the gamut. So again, you know, that 360 concept speaks to that too, you know, just my navigation and working with a range of issues. But at the core of it though, you know, everybody wants the same thing. Everybody wants peace. You know, everybody wants love. Everybody wants, you know, to be prosperous. You know, everybody wants to be validated. Everybody wants a sense of connection. So, you know, in my healing practice, I learned after a while, because early on in the game, when I tell you I was taking everybody issues home, I mean, I'm having nightmares. You know, these folks is showing up in my dreams, haunting me, because I didn't know how to create boundaries and to protect myself and, you know, teach people how to fish versus, you know, constantly leaking out my life force by giving men and women fish, you know, versus teaching them tools and techniques to use on their own so they can navigate their own issues, you know. After learning that, you know, the work became a lot easier, a lot easier. And it just kind of took a life of its own. So, and it's interesting because I think I try to run away from the healing practice, try to get away from doing all the work because it's a tough field, bro. I'm sure you know, in this type of work, it is exhausting because, you know, our people have, we have been through so much. You know, it's a lot of pain and it's a lot of trauma in the community. And it's not a lot of people who are on the front line, you know, just, you know, teaching and sharing their wisdom and knowledge and, you know, just being available and accessible. But you know what I did learn is that the more I ran, the more I attracted people to me. Even when I left.
Yeah. That's right.
Even when I left my job, bro, I had transitioned from the hospital, and this was in Louisville, Kentucky. I was and at the hospital, I was working with individuals with schizophrenia, bipolar. That was tough. I feel like that right there was like initiation in and of itself. I said, man, I got to, you know, it's got to be something easier for me out here to do it. It can't just be all, you know, it's just violence all day, every day. So I went down and, you know, worked with children and families doing therapy, and that was even tougher. But the tools and the skill sets and all my experiences from the hospital, you know, prepared me, you know, for a lot of the challenges that came to me. A lot of people with suicide ideation and heavy depression. And, you know, I knew that a lot of it was at the spiritual level, you know. I remember I had one client, he took my hand, brother, and he put it on his crown and he said, "You can heal me." He said, "You can heal me. I feel it. I know you can hear me." He said, and he and several other clients, time and time again, did me like that. And, you know, and me understanding that most of the issues are at a spiritual level, but, you know, and in that type of context, I can't, you know, do that type of work, you know, but, you know, after going to the, okay, so Children and Family Services, I was so exhausted at that point, brother, that I told my boss, and she said, you know, you would have to give me a month's notice before you leave. I said, I got to go today. I'm tired. I can't, you know, I got to go today. And, you know, I told myself, I just want to travel. Started working at the airport, got on the Delta. I just want to travel the world, you know, let me live a little bit, you know. On those travels, you know, I'm meeting people who have these needs, you know, people need services, people, you know, quote unquote, random occasions or random, you know, acquaintances with people who are needing healing services. You know, I'm like, man, I'm trying to get away from this work. And I keep attracting these people. No, I mean, whether I was in the States, out the States, in the house, you know, wherever I was attracting at that level. So I just realized that the level at which I am magnetizing only speaks to who I am. And who you are, you can never get outside and away from that. It just is who you are. You know, that's the nature in which you was created. So for you to repudiate or denounce, you know, these gifts is for you to repudiate yourself, for you to repudiate who you are sourced in, which is the divine. That's for you to repudiate God. So God made a mistake? I don't think so. So get in line, you know, tighten it up. And, you know, I guess that was a lot of healing for me, you know, just having to get still, you know, having to just make peace and accept, you know, what I feel like I was called to do, you know, like a lot of us are called to do. And you know, a lot of brothers and sisters who are in their respective fields run for a long time before they realize, you know, what it is and where the real power is. Because once I really just started being obedient and at peace with who I am and what the mission is, then it, life just became so much sweeter, you know. Everything just started connecting and coming into place. And it still is, you know. Everything is still unfolding naturally like that. So with the 360 healing, and I provide whatever services people need. You know, my motto is meet people where they are, you know. So whatever your needs are, you know, we can find a solution. And if I can't, if I don't have the tools or the skill set available within my arsenal, I'm definitely going to go to bat, you know, to help you get you where you need to be. And that's what it's been for me. So my services include things like hypnotherapy. I've done a lot of hypnotic work, mostly in therapy-type sessions, teaching people relaxation, progressive relaxation, conscious breathing.
Yeah. What do you say? I want folks to be listening to this and they be thinking about Get Out and shit. You see what I'm saying? Because they kind of like destroyed, you know, hypnotherapy. Folks is already thinking like, okay, you what you got to do, pull out the watch from, you know, all of those years. And then on top of this, you said hypnotherapy.
Yeah.
And, you know, thanks to Jordan Peele and, you know, Hollywood and all of that. Now yeah. They're like, oh, you know. I don't want a cigarette no more, but now somebody about to, you know, steal my organs or my body or some shit. Yeah. You know? gotta break that down for real quick. You man. Should have said it. Know that you yeah. safe. Now somebody not gonna supplant some thoughts in your mind and turn you into a Manchurian candidate or some shit out here. You know, all those movies look pretty wild. Can you break that down, please?
You know, it's crazy, brother. It's unfortunate that it is so many misconceptions about, you know, hypnotherapy because, you know, it's just the word. However, you know, what hypnosis or hypnotherapy is just a relaxed state, you know, a receptive state of mind, you know, for you to enter into the most powerful aspect of your mind, which is, you know, the subconscious or the spirit, to be able to reprogram and recondition, you know, patterns of thought, patterns of behavior that you would rather desire, you know. So it's as simple as that. And everybody goes through states of light trance and hypnosis every day, you know, driving, for an example. You know, we become so ritualistic or are programmed into certain behaviors, like driving. You know, it becomes second nature. You know, you could be driving somewhere and you're so accustomed to the routine that it becomes unconscious mastery. You know, you do it and it's almost like you end up to your destination. It's like, how did I get here? Well, you were in a light state of trance. You know, you can do this with unconscious mastery. You've done it so many times. So the only difference between that level of hypnosis and the hypnosis when you come into an office, for example, to, you know, eliminate your cravings for smoking or weight loss or, you know, whatever you have going on, is that you're doing it consciously, you know, when you're doing hypnotherapy versus, you know, it's just it's a natural thing, you know, when we're on a day-to-day routine. So, yeah. No get out, you know, nobody's being programmed to put in trance to rob them of their organs or nothing like that. You're very much conscious. You're still conscious when you undergo hypnotherapy. As a matter of fact, your ability to go into hypnosis or light states of trance depends on your ability to eliminate fear. It's impossible for me to insert anything into your mind if you reject it or if you have fear, or what they call in hypnosis the critical factor of the conscious mind, which with the you used to see, you know, in the old days, they would have the, you know, the little, the ball and the, you know, you're getting sleepy. That would just be to relax the mind, you know, to relax the conscious mind, to tire in the eyes, you know. So by that time, once they close their eyes, they're in such a state of trance that, you know, they're open and ready for programming or whatever it is that they were doing. But yeah, definitely no spookism with hypnotherapy. None whatsoever. In addition to that, I also do Reiki energy healing. And that's something that I've taught a lot of people without, you know, you don't need a certification. You know, it's really as simple as, you know, like we talked about earlier with the observation or just getting present enough and knowing how to move the breath, knowing how to control your breathing, hand placements. You know, it's really simple healing. It's not hard. It's a very natural process. And in addition to that, psychotherapeutic healing as well.
I remember the father who played the father, James Evans, on Good Times. He was on that old movie with Sidney Poitier and Bill Cosby. And they had these beds on and stuff like that. And they went up in the hotel room. And he was like, none of that funny ass stuff you was doing. Because he had the goons with him or whatever, you know, his muscle. And you know, Sidney Poitier started putting one of those guys in the trance just by giving them some kind of look. He was like, look at that funny eyed stuff you did, blah, blah, blah. You see what I'm saying? It's also like, it's funny over the years, you know, how, you know, many of us have been used to be poster boards for, you know, gross misrepresentations of our natural cultural practices. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And how they're presented to us is how you, you know, begin to feel about them. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, you described in that process, it's many of the times, these things that are grossly associated with the greatest energy on the planet, this healing energy, this creative energy. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So many times with our ideas, with our concepts, with our confidence, we go from the place of impregnation and, you know, gestation in the mental state of mind to stillbirth in regards to our ideas based on these external influences. You see what I'm saying? So we have what I've termed like mental abortions. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like the process gets destroyed before it ever gets a chance to get started, not knowing that there's still remnants of that energy that you have to deal with. You see what I'm saying? Any of these aspects, whether it's mental, physical, emotional, psychological, all of these places have the resonance. You see what I'm saying? And they're being called forth. You know, they said thought travels at 24 billion miles per second. So for all of the thoughts that you have that resonate with you, that you can remember, that you can call forth into existence, you know, therein is that set ability to be able to tap into these things and begin to build with them. So if you're able to hold a thought and take it through that gestation period where you can make that thought manifest into physical
reality,
you know, we have to be very careful of these influences. You know what I mean?
Yes.
If I use a farm analogy for the farmer, and I take it from the farmer perspective to the crop perspective. The crops are only as good or as strong enough as the weeds that surround them. You see what I'm saying? So after all of this process, before when you see something topsoil, you don't even acknowledge the journey that it had to go through in order for you to see it up topsoil. And as soon as you see the topsoil, right next to it, you see a fully grown weed. Right next to it. You understand what I'm saying? Right next to it. Like it ain't begin to bear no fruit or anything like that. It just bust through the ground, so it's visible. Man. You see what I'm saying? And from that process, right next to it is a fully grown weed that you ain't even see bust through the ground. You just see it when it's in its full state and it's there feeding on that crop. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So how do you think you're not in a space in your mind to where you got these ideas and you got these concepts, you got these aspirations, and you got these goals, and here comes these weeds. And these weeds ain't evil. These weeds are there to see how bad you are, what you're willing to go through in order to grow. You see
that? That's right. That's right.
So now the farmer has to have the vision to say, this is going to be a bountiful harvest. And the buy-in from the crops to sustain and continual growth state despite the challenges that are presented by the weeds. So the farmer out there thanking the weeds. You see what I'm saying? The farmer out there thanking the weeds just like he's thanking the crops, like, or she's thanking the weeds like she's thanking the crops, because if they could sustain the weeds, if they could sustain the influence and the test of the weeds, you know you got a bountiful harvest, because everything that comes in when it's time to harvest the crops have been through types of trial and error, and they are not in a position to be destroyed. They could be destroyed.
Right.
Otherwise, they would have made it. You see what I'm saying? Some might look a little raggedy. You might look at us, you might see some of us might look a little wore down, a little beat up, but you don't know the story that happened. You see what I'm saying?
Man,
you know,
don't know the story.
You come to that bountiful harvest, and you bear in mind, like, yo, I got to do this shit all over again. You see what I'm saying? So let's enjoy the fruits of our labors for the time that we have, and let's ensure that the abundance that we receive, that we spread and make a difference in these people's lives. This is what we do with our gifts. You see what I'm saying?
That's right.
So no matter how much Jonah we got in us, you understand what I'm saying? Like, no matter how much Job we got going on, all of that becomes a process. You see what I'm saying? Like, you think you're running away, and all you're doing is expanding your scope. You understand what I'm saying?
That's right.
And then when you start to think about a state of peace, when are you in your most state of peace? When you're doing what the hell you're supposed to be doing. So any other time, regardless of the things that are associated with the things that we are called to do, it ain't easy, because we got weeds out there. You understand what I'm saying?
Man.
And if it was everybody would do it, and there would be no need for you to do what you do. You see what I'm saying? So you exist in a space to where you begin to know this process, and this process comes from this proper cultivation. You see what I'm saying? The seed is planted in fertile soil, the irrigation is right, you got the proper sunlight, you got the proper exposure to the right elements that still don't stop the weed from showing up. So you congratulate the weed for showing up, because that's proof of your existence, proof of your life. You see what I'm saying? That's the movement, that's the motion. You're like, damn, okay. You see what I'm saying? So if you change that diameter of thinking, like you was talking about, if you change that and you see this weed as a blessing,
yeah,
you understand what I'm saying? Instead of a trial or a tribulation, this is your sounding block. This is your brick wall. But when you get up from this sounding block, or when you rise up from this brick wall, no other brick wall stop you. You see what I'm saying?
Man, absolutely. Yeah, that perspective right there is probably at the heart and essence, you know, of my work. I'm sure at your work. You know, I'm sure that's the thread that runs through the fabric of everybody's work, you know, just to be able to, you know, place it all into perspective and see how all the dynamics are playing a role and playing a part, you know, serving the whole, no matter what it may look like, you know, for the wise one or the one who is looking, you know, with the inner eye, those weeds, like you said, are a test to the sustainability and the longevity and the fruitfulness of that harvest, you know, for the one who can really see what it's there for, you know. And I think that applies to everything in life. And I think that, you know, going back to, like, those daily practices, that's why, you know, anybody I work with, I tell them, you have to work your spiritual muscles. You have to work your emotional muscles. You know, you have to build up some musculature in order to sustain, you know, the challenges and the weight of life, you know, because it's coming. It's inevitable. It's coming. That's just a part of it, you know. But when it does come, you know, it's not going to be such a shock, or, you know, it's not going to be so heavy on you, because you've done the work and you're continuing to do the work, and you can recognize it for what it is, you know, versus being just completely blunging by it, you know, and to get yourself into even more mess because you're not prepared when the tides change, you know, and when things started to shift, and that, there's nothing consistent but change. So you have to be able to move with the times and know what time it is.
Right.
By studying, by doing the work, you know.
That's right. That's right. So let me see what else I wanted to ask you about. What was the educational journey for you with this adjunct psychotherapist? What was that like? And how much of that training that you received aided you in your through line for what you do now?
Oh, man. I feel like, I have a degree in psychology and studied social work as well. I trained at Tri-State Hypnosis Center to learn hypnotherapy and got a certification in Reiki and life coaching. But I feel like, you know, all those degrees and, you know, the certificates and whatnot, none of that compares to just me being a student of life and sitting at life's feet and taking notes, being an observer. You know, asking, what is this here to teach me? How am I to learn from this? How do I grow from this? How do I develop, you know? So all of that, you know, is part and parcel. You know, my degrees and training is part and parcel. But, you know, the real training was in the application. You know, they have this thing in your practicums and in class. You know, it's the theory versus the practice. But most of the teachers and the professors, and, you know, even with the practicums, those senior therapists, they speak theory all day long. A lot of them are detached, though, from reality and from the practice, because they are not actually putting those theories to the test, you know, while we were out there on the ground, you know, actually putting those theories to the test and going back to the drawing board. That theory don't add up. You know, we're going to have to reconfigure this. I would say that my biggest training and the biggest shaping factor on me was definitely from just life in general, that type of cultivation. Yeah, just my life experience.
So, can we talk about, you know, some of the root causes now from your work that you find, some of these things that you're dealing with, these emotional maladies, these spiritual maladies, these physical afflictions that, you know, many of our people find ourselves in. What have you gathered from your work could be some of the root causes, if you could, you know, share some of the things for that out there for our people?
Okay. Well, let me go back, you know, to the training part. You know, spirit. I don't know how I forgot spirit. The spirit. Ain't no getting away from the spirit. You know, even in dreams, you know, the guardians have given me different tools and techniques to use in healing. You know, for example, anytime I was doing healing work in a dream, I was always using my breath, you know, using that life force to eliminate whatever friction, whatever tension, whatever blockages were there. And that was, you know, in every single one of the healing dreams that I had. So that was spirit teaching me, you know, to focus more so on bringing that life force and that light through the breath. You know, when I am actually doing, you know, the healing work and things like Reiki. So yeah, the spiritual aspect too. My Janelle and myself, Brother Ankh Banu, can't forget about my brother at the University of Louisville. While I was learning, you know, about psychology and all these theories, he was also teaching classes about, you know, the spiritual psychology, you know, in terms of, you know, ancient Kemet and, you know, where we're rooted at in terms of, you know, the knowledge of self, you know. So that right there was huge. That was huge on me, you know, in terms of my training. So I'm definitely indebted to my brother for forever on that. But in terms of the calls, you know, I think we spoke to earlier, you know, with the ancestors and how everything is interconnected. You know, right. Things that Malcolm was dealing with, that wasn't just, you know, in that generation. You know, that wasn't just isolated for any generation. All of these things are regenerated and are patterns of behavior, patterns of thought that, you know, we inherit. You know, we don't just inherit these physical features. We inherit, you know, personality profiles, we inherit psychology, we inherit, you know, across the board, you know, at every level. I think it's epigenetics is the science, you know, where they're just now getting into how, you know, my grandmother, if she had a, you know, this personality type or, you know, this level of thought, that affects me. And, you know, that corresponds to how I think, you know, how I see the world.
Right.
But I think that the biggest thing, though, I would say at the heart of most of the cases I've been on is really getting people to see themselves differently in relationship to whatever it is that they're going through or whatever the challenge is. You know, if I could get you to acknowledge that you're not stuck for one, you know, that's where depression comes in, where you don't foresee any vision. You don't have any vision or hope for tomorrow. You know, sadness, the perception that you've lost, you know, anger, your boundary has been violated. You know, all these are perceptions, these emotions, these energies and emotions are perceptions. So if I can get you to acknowledge and see it, you know, differently, or realize that it doesn't define you. Because a lot of people, you know, when they start to identify with their issues, you know, they identify with the pathology. That's just a curse. That's just a generational curse that runs in my family. You have the power to transmute that. You have the power to overcome that. You know, that doesn't define you. Yeah, it may be a pattern that's running through your family, but who's in control? You or the pattern, you know? And here's some tools to help you get some distance on, you know, your identification and attachment to, you know, this pattern. And one thing I realized is that people are very loyal to these generational patterns, you know, to these maladaptive behaviors and don't even know it, you know? From one generation to the next, you hear people all the time say, I can't stand my moms, I can't stand my pops, but, you know, I look up and I am them. You know, I became my pops, I became my, yeah, because everything that they are, who they are, was demonstrated to you all your life. That was a model of behavior for you. So if you don't have anything to interrupt that inertia, then you're going to, you know, carry on the same pattern, carry on the same energy life force. So the acknowledgement of that alone, you know, has the power and the potential to shift everything. You know, that inner eye or that inner ear, getting people to be, you know, still and observant, you know, that just sitting in the consciousness, that right there has probably been the biggest tool and at the heart of everything that I've done. So yeah, definitely perception. I would say perception, shifting the perception, learning how to cultivate perception, learning how to shift perception, learning how to unlearn, you know, unlearn the ways of the world, you know, to become, you know, who you are naturally. Which all that has to do with perception too. So definitely perception.
So how long is this process, you know, when folks going from the level of needs assessment, you know, and to, you know, results? I know they kind of vary between people depending on what they got going on. And what kind of work needs to get done. So, you know, what's an ideal kind of time frame?
Yeah, like you said, it does vary. You know, some people, let's say for instance, if you come in with to around, let's say, smoking, you know, at the cause and at the root of that are emotional issues. You know, the smoking is a coping mechanism or a form of distraction, you know, for some level of anxiety. You know, you see a lot of people go smoke when they get anxious. I need a cigarette to calm my nerves. You know, all of that. I can't use the bathroom without a cigarette. I can't eat without a cigarette. I can't have, you know, so it's so much association of reward and relief and refuge with something like smoking, you know, cigarettes or weed, what have you, that, you know, people think that is the solution. They don't realize that all they're doing is using something that they've assigned in their mind to relieve, to cope. However, you can do that quite naturally, you know. Once you actually tell the truth about, you know, or actually allow those emotions to come up instead of stuffing it down. You know, I think that right there is another huge issue that we don't really deal with. I remember studying with this Tai Chi practitioner, a master, and he said, you know, our problems as Americans, you know, the biggest issue is that we don't know how to release. We don't know how to release. All we do is suppress. So I've seen people shift, you know, in high anxiety states within just one session of doing like some energy work, Qigong, you know, shifting that vibration. I've seen them. Somebody called me one time who was so manic, bro. The doctors, nobody, I mean, nobody could calm them or, you know, pacify them. Called me. And, you know, we just did some progressive relaxation where we just focused on breath and we just moved the attention, you know, over, you know, different areas of the body and just, and, you know, I'm not really sure exactly what was going on. I just know he was in a manic state. And after that, he came right back into the seat of himself, you know, just with bringing his attention into his body, just bringing his attention into his breath, you know, just moving that chi, that energy, you know, and probably sealing up leakages and life force, you know, that was being lost. Came right back together, you know, just within that instant. And I've seen that so many times. But, you know, I think for the most part, though, like I said earlier, I've learned to give people coping skills, teach coping skills, because, you know, it's almost like going to the gym. You can't go to the gym just one time and think that you're going to be, you know, buff, you know, swole game, you know, for the rest of your life. You got to keep putting in the work, you know, because life is going to continue to happen. So, you know, my biggest thing is teaching people how to be independent and autonomous so that they don't have to be reliant and codependent on other people. So, yeah, it definitely varies, you know, depending on somebody's willingness to put in the work, you know. It definitely varies.
I see you got low rates. It ain't no rates. You see those things, low rates. All right, so for people who want to get started, how, where, when, what is your availability like for people who want to get started?
Well, my schedule is pretty flexible. The best way to contact me is either via phone or Facebook. And I think you put the flyer up, right? You have it on your page. And my telephone number, 502-644-1372. You can text or call. Again, 502-644-1372. And my Facebook alias is TMK DeWalt. So, you know, they can text, call, or message me, you know, anytime. And we can go from there.
All right. So, you know, going through the training, they tell you every good psychologist has a good psychologist.
Yes, sir. Yeah. So, yeah, the healer has to be healed.
Right. How do you cope? You know, you spoke about it earlier, like taking everybody's stuff home, and then you had to learn how to, you know, rid yourself of that energy.
Yeah.
Like that. So I'm not going to say who is your support system. Do you have a support system, and how important is that support system for healers that are out here?
Man, that support system is everything. Yeah, I definitely have. I have a big family, man, and a tight circle of friends, spiritual mentors. I got I've been very blessed and fortunate, you know, to have some good people in my corner. So I gotta, you know, thank God for that, because it's this type of work is definitely not easy. So to have that refuge and to have that support it means the world. You know, as a matter of fact, it's so important that in most of the work that I've done, especially with people who are dealing with addictions, you know, the support system means the world for people to hold you accountable, you know. So, like you said, the psychologist needs a psychologist. The healer needs a healer. You know, I've been to therapy myself. You know, that's one thing that I really do try to make a point, particularly to our people, is to dispel and dismantle, you know, all of the stigma and all of the, you know, misconceptions about going to therapy, getting a life coach, working with healers. You know, we need some relief. We need to be able to, you know, release this energy. You know, you can't suppress it. You suppress it, it only grows another head, you know. So if you're not getting that professional, if you can't afford professional help or get professional help, I would say to definitely have that support system, you know, because what I've learned is that in my relationships, they are naturally psychotherapeutic, you know, when you are open and honest and have, you know, strong ties and strong connections. you know, naturally. You know, you don't really have to go great lengths to do very much release. That is your release. You know, that is the reciprocity. You know, that's helping you to keep your waters pure and clean. You know, so yeah, definitely. Yeah, I stay rooted and grounded. You know, with my tribe and circle.
All right. Well, I give you the opportunity right now for any acknowledgments, any shout-outs, your final thoughts, anything that you want to share with your people. And one more time, how they can get a hold of you, you know, whatever your social media links are, whatever those things may be that may be pertinent for people to support you and for people to get a hold of you for your services.
Okay. Well, I definitely want to shout you out, my brother. It's been a beautiful build. Definitely enjoyed, man, this time and the exchange of information and time and energy. Definitely appreciate it. To the sister, Chanel, again, Zariette, I got to, you know, send her some love and some light for, you know, plugging us in.
Right.
And I definitely want to extend a... some love and light to anybody listening that comes across this podcast who's going through a tough time or a trial at any level. You know, anything can be overcome. You know, anything can be triumphed. You know, and if you can't triumph it on your own, if you can't overcome it on your own, definitely, you know, get some people around you, you know, get some help. It is okay to ask for help, you know, in our community. A lot of times we like to be strong, you know, we like to be saviors, but, you know, who's going to save the savior? Who's going to save the savior? Who's going to heal the healers? So, again, with 360 Healing, you can reach me at 502-644-1372. My name is Tyron. My Facebook is TMK DeWalt. Again, my number is 502-644-1372. You can text or call me anytime.
All right, my brother, thank you for your time, your attention, your candor, and your Gemini energy, you know what I'm saying, up in this joint today, you know?
Yes, sir.
definitely looking forward to future conversations and opportunities to dialogue with you in the future and get some work done with my damn self, you understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
the healers need to be here, you know?
Yes,
and,
sir.
Who better to know us than those who love us and who honor us? You see what I'm saying? So,
absolutely.
Healing, you see what I'm saying? Get your consultation.
Absolutely.
My brother should be busy. He'd be like, yo, I ain't got no time for you. I can't see you until next year. And you understand what I'm saying? So, we need to get our brother busy and keep him busy. You see what I'm saying? It's like, you know, I'm going all over the planet and stuff. You see what I'm saying? I had to get you when I'm stateside next year. You understand what I'm saying? You know, we need to engage our people and put our arms around our healers and our support systems and our families and those who have our aspirations, visions, and goals, and, you know, empower them. You see what I'm saying? Empower them. You know, that energy, that attention, that currency, it may seem minuscule, but for those of us who do this particular work, we appreciate every single thing that we receive. Everything. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So we definitely have to, you know, keep those connections and those relationships strong. So I definitely want you to come back, you know, a couple of times. And if you have some people that are willing to share, you know, their testimonies here online, I can create that space and y'all can come on and talk about it. You see what I'm saying? Because people are, you know, intrigued and they get inspired by other people. You see what I'm saying? Even though I was saying stuff about that camera, somebody's on the other end pointing that camera. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And somebody is on the other end receiving those images. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, people are intrigued and inspired by people. You know, they wouldn't have a damn Lifetime channel. You know, I don't even know if that's still on. I ain't watch TV. That'll tell you how long ago I was watching TV. You understand what I'm saying? They wouldn't have a Lifetime channel if there wasn't people there to tell their stories. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so,
trust me.
This is our Lifetime story here on Doing Now's Radio. You see what I'm saying? So product,
yes,
service,
sir.
businesses, whatever the case may be, this is a safe space for you to speak your African mind without a filter, without an edit, without, you know, any kind of alteration from your message, 100% pure truth. And so thank you again for your time and your attention. And most importantly, you're giving our energy out here. You see what I'm saying? So, you know.
Man, trust me, Gemini stand up. They know what it is, brother.
That's right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's all mutual, bro. I appreciate it. And I'm definitely going to come back. And I definitely know some folks who would be willing to share, you know, some testimonials and some of their experiences. Yeah, and I think that'll be an even more interesting build, you know, to get into some of the details and, you know, the depths of how people heal, you know, in the process. You know, a lot of people can get healing just by listening to somebody else's process, somebody else's story, you know. So, yeah, you're definitely right about that. These stories definitely need to be told, and it's definitely the time. It's definitely the time for it. So, yeah, we're going to build, brother, and I look forward to it, definitely.
All right. Peace to you, family. Enjoy the rest of your day.
You too, my brother. Peace and blessings.
Peace.
Peace, brother.
So that was my brother, Tyron. Like what you heard, subscribe to the show, www.blogtalkradio.com/DudesAndDottesRadio. That's DudesAndDottesRadio. Check us out at our hub site. Get your tickets when you're live stream. Access www.DudesAndDottesRadio.com. You can follow the show on Twitter, at KnowledgeBorn15 on Twitter, and on Instagram, KnowledgeBornAlive357. Hit my brother up, Tyron, DeWall360 Healing. He left his phone number. He left his contact information. Let's get, you know, started with practical application. You know, conversation leads to practical application. So, you know, my brother came through, and as, you know, promised earlier, we've done with the interview portion, so I'm going to take a few moments to recognize those folks who came on earlier to the live audio that we did as a precursor to the show. Sister Ty Shaw, www.imtyshaw.com, energy worker, spiritual healer, helping folks healing from sexual trauma and sexual abuse. So make sure you go to www.imtyshaw.com and set up a consultation. excuse me, my sister Chanel Ori Britannica came through, and this is the way that we are able to solidify guests for our Talk Black Tuesday show. Her and I are working in collaboration together to bring monumental stories, here on the platform, DudesAndDottes Radio Talk Black Tuesday. We have slots available, you know, and people are coming in to tell their stories, to tell about their products and their services and their journey as well here. So shout out to Ori Britannica, you know, hit her up, Chanel Johnson on Facebook, and get your consultation, get your work done, you know, Ori Britannica. Let's see who else. The event again, this Saturday and Sunday, May 4th and May 5th, Texas, Dallas, Fort Worth, Becoming Unbreakable 2019. Get your tickets, www.DudesAndDottesRadio.com. $25 for a two-day event, two-quarter price of one. Get your access. Children are free. Children are absolutely 100% free. Students with your student ID, $20. Get you access to both events, live stream access, $10 for both events, www.DudesAndDottesRadio.com, or Cash App, cash.me/KnowledgeBornAlive. And if you want live stream access, make sure in the reason for your purchase, put your email address, and you'll be added to the group that can see this particular live stream. We're going to take down the footage and re-upload the footage again with all of the behind-the-scenes access, all of the bonus features, the interviews, the reactions from the people who came to these events, everything for the same price. Price hasn't changed. The family is there. So if you're there physically or if you get the live stream access, you will have access to this footage for like www.dumbhouseradio.com for your tickets. Thank you to my sister, Yeah Africa. She will be on site, and she reminded me to tell y'all that if you pre-ordered the books from houseofyamiaj.com, 720 degrees of Ron, you will receive your books May 2nd. So thank you to everyone for their pre-orders. You can get A Timeless Dynasty or 720 Degrees of Ron from www.houseofyamiaj.com. She is the root founding mother of that house, and she teaches sisters African spirituality from an African center and is dedicated specifically to the growth and development of African sisters and the sisterhood. Is beautiful and amazing transformation that is taking place. Some of her house residents will be in attendance out there on Saturday, May the 4th, 4 to 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Going to be an amazing event. My brother, KT the Artist Degree, will be headlining that event. My sister, Rob Bay, will give an opening presentation that will prepare our imagination for what we are about to see. My brother, Road Dog, Warrior, Comrade, OG, Tahir RBG, will be in the building giving us practical tools to use for our liberation. Both days, rocking the microphone, talking about ancestral veneration and all of that African-centered technology that we can use for our liberation. So you don't want to miss these two events. They are going to be monumental. Pan-African Connections on Saturday, the Dot Bookshop on Sunday, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Central Standard Time. Main script in the morning. Shout out to my brother, Professor Dean, who will be on his platform Friday morning, 9 a.m. Manuscript in the morning, 9 to 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. Myself, Ty RBG, will be in the building live on Manuscript in the morning. Shout out to my brother, Dean Manuscript, and his amazing team, Queen Kitty in the building, DJ Johnny Judah, and my brother Judge over there. Shout out to them. Manuscript in the morning team, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. 9 to 11, we'll be over there rocking out, taking the questions, taking the comments, letting forth work know that we're going to be in the city working that thing, and we'll be right there. Shout out to Tri-Coastal Radio. Take them out 24/7, tricoastalradio.com. So all of these collaborative efforts coming together, converging on one location. Dallas, Fort Worth, Arlington, Houston, San Antonio, Killeen, Austin, Texas, Galveston, Beaumont, wherever you are, converge on these two locations. Come spend the weekend with us. We in the city. It's going down. Get your tickets. www.dumbhouseradio.com. Will be worth the small monetary investment for this transformation process to begin to take place. It's going down. So with that, we're going to say peace, love, black power. We'll be on tomorrow, Warrior Wednesday, with the National Minister of Defense, the Black Rights Liberation Party, and the National Deputy Field Marshal of the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense under the leadership of the coldest and the boldest black woman in America, National Chairwoman Crystal Muhammad. We will be on Warrior Wednesday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The last show of the week that we will do in this location, and you will hear from us throughout Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, working it. Working it. So if you're coming unbreakable, in 2019. That is the motto. Coming to a city near you. First stop, Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas. It's going down. So peace, love, black power, and we will see you tomorrow.
Back to full fools, the old man ain't old news. Hopefuls back by the machine till I got it on low fuel. You low skill, cheap thrills off killing your pee pills. Eat pills for a false sense of deep will. This critic kills, or best they left in critic kill without a living will. It's hot, I give them hell, they cannot climb these lyric hills. Let's bet the bank, I form with my team. We a deceptive tank. Go get them boys, your shooters out of shape, so I bet they clank. The sports reference is more preference than my core blessing, but I got more lessons in store for your protection. There's a war in session, being an orator is my most forceful weapon. Used to reveal deception when bullshit detected. Man, this the USA, the bullshit's perfected. And you take it from the backside with no contraception, no condemnation, just accepting the method. I'm fighting demons too, it's a daily self-reflection. Verses is my daily holy purpose. These verses, congregation hype like I'm a preacher. Except I weaponize the sermons and jeopardize your purpose. Expose your false beginnings. I need that chicken like churches, but in business like religion.
Crunch the numbers, do the math, follow the money. Face it, these crackers, man, they think we all dummies. Some will jump in front of that bullet when I'm gunning. Hold me back while these devils take off running.
I bet I, cadet a Jedi, let the bullet scrub him in his left eye. This is me on my rest time. You don't let the sun shine. I just do what I have to. I just do what comes natural. It's not my intent to come at you. It's always like a drive-by and I just be trying to pass through. Tell JJ I still got watts. That's word to my cashews. Who asked you? Nobody next.